The Old Testament speaks about rejoicing. We have 3 weeks assigned to us in the Old Testament where we were to rejoice before the Lord our God. But the New Testament requires rejoicing too. I think it's interesting if you think about the context of those passages in which rejoicing is commended to us. Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember that Paul wrote that in prison. I just think it's interesting that when Peter talks about rejoicing, and in his book, 1 Peter, is about 48% rejoicing. When Peter speaks of rejoicing, it's again in the same context, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So it's interesting. I just think it's really interesting how in the New Testament, when you're talking about serious rejoicing, and when Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Again, what is the context there? Does anybody remember the context there? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That was the context. Remember, again, you know, every time you find rejoicing, it's always in the context of persecution. So I guess you're all going to have to go out there and get persecuted if you're going to rejoice a little bit. That seems to be the conclusion you draw from these things. Amen? So for the Christians, tribulations come first, then great joy. But what hampers our joy? And I want to talk about that just for a moment in our exhortation period. What is it that hampers our joy? Now, here's what hampers our joy. Joy-hampering devices. Okay, three things that bug us. Three things. At some point, you just feel like you're not rejoicing the way you ought to rejoice. If you're sitting there right now, you're not really have a smile on your face. You don't even feel like smiling at anybody. That's just grumpy. Three reasons why that's so. Number one, other people are not perfect. Number two, you are not perfect. And number three, your circumstances are not perfect. And for those reasons, you're not just going to do any rejoicing this morning. Because others aren't perfect. Your husband's not perfect. The children aren't perfect. And the pastor's not perfect. And you're not perfect. And your circumstances aren't perfect. I think it has a lot to do with expectations. See, the reasons why most people have a hard time rejoicing is because of what I would call crushed expectations. Okay, let me give you an example. You booked a trip on TripAdvisor. You expected a 5-star hotel. And you wind up in a dive. And there are rats floating around in the swimming pool. Now, this was supposed to be your special vacation. This was supposed to be a time of relaxation. You know, you had pictured yourself by the pool. With a pina colada. A virgin. Or whatever. And you were going to relax. And the sun was going to be shining. And everything was going to be wonderful. And your wife was going to look over at you and smile and say, honey, I just adore you. And she didn't say that. You had all this thing worked out in your mind. And your expectations were crushed. Now, if you had expected a cardboard shack, and it turned out to be Motel 6, and it might have been better for you. Is everybody with me here? Your expectations ultimately lead to your attitudes. Now, this is what happens in life. Life generally turns out to be a dive. Now, I'm sorry. That's just the way life is. Life is a dive. Now, if you expected a dive, it would have been better, but you didn't expect a dive. You thought it was going to be something better than that. We expected a pina colada by the beach, and we're waist high in a filthy bog in Vietnam, fighting what seems to be a meaningless, long, drawn-out war, at least as defined by the popular media. And speaking of the popular media takes a break occasionally, and they do these advertisements, and they raise your expectations of what life ought to be. If you buy this shampoo, you will find utopia. If you buy this house, you will, voila, enjoy paradise forever and ever. The problem, of course, is that's a big mirage. This is a huge mirage, a huge disappointment. And our hopes are constantly crushed again and again and again. And when your hopes have been crushed, when you've been promised something, and promised something by every billboard, by every program, by every advertisement, by every commercial, every magazine advertisement, you've been promised utopia and paradise 100,000 times, and you didn't get it. You're going to be pretty depressed in the end. Pretty depressed. And I suggest to you this is the way where most people are. I mean, they get their hopes up, but they've had 100,000 hopes crushed. They bought 100,000 products, and 100,000 times their hopes have been crushed again and again and again. So they don't live a joyful life. They live occasionally a life of a little expectation that their next purchase of shampoo will do something for them. But it turns out it really doesn't. You know, the best novels outline some of the most desperate and despicable circumstances encountered by human beings. The best novels do that. Why is it that as you're reading these novels and you see these horrible circumstances and these desperate situations and these violent things that happen and certain people die and you watch these movies or you read these novels, why is it that you continue to be engaged? Why do you say, oh, this is good? Why? Because you are expecting something in the outcome. The joy of reading this novel that has such horrible things going on all the time. Or this movie that is, the heroine is getting hurt and the hero is getting cut and slashed and burned and he's been shot 6 times. Why is it that you continue to say, this is great, this is great, because of your expectation of the outcome? That's why. Now let's talk about the story of your life. Let's talk about the story of your life. Is it great? Are you enjoying the novel? Why? You've been shot 18 times. Burned and cut. What is it? You're a mess. Why? Why are you enjoying the novel of your life? Because of the expectations. Now, I think the difference between the world out there and what I'm saying here, I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. We've got to have their expectations. We've got ours. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is long-term expectations versus short-term expectations. That's it. It's the difference between passion and patience in Pilgrim's Progress. If you remember the example of passion and patience. Passion wanted everything now. Patience was willing to wait for it. And that was one of the great little parables in the House of the Interpreter. So that's it. That's effectively it. Who are you? Are you passion? Are you patience? And in the end, you know that the shampoo will burn your eyes. It will burn and burn and burn, right? You buy that house, and you know what's going to happen? There are going to be all kinds of problems. You're going to flood the basement on July 4th. It's just going to be a disappointment. There are going to be mice in the house having more mice. Or maybe just one mouse. If you've ever seen Mouse Hunt, where the mouse will take your house apart. And you're going to have all sorts of issues with it. Finally, the house will burn down, or some guy will sue you for everything you have. And so life turns out to be a huge disappointment. There's no denying there's tragedy in life. There's no denying that whatsoever. I mean, just one statement, and I will settle my case forever. This life will be a huge disappointment because should Christ tarry, there will be 300 deaths and burials in this church, and there will be tears shed for every single one of you. Okay, enough said. Everybody understand this? Your life will be made up of tragedies, and it will end with a tragedy. So there's no denying the tragedy of this present life. Life is a dive. It's not a 5-star hotel. But let me say two things as I wrap up the exhortation. Number one, what do you do when you're in a dive? You make the best of the dive. Put some flowers in the window. Put some flowers in the window. Open the curtains a little bit. Let a little bit of God's sunshine in.
Enjoy the small things that God has given you. Thank God for the beans and rice. Sing psalms of joy before Him. And if you get used to the fact that you're living in a dive, you're going to find that it's not all that bad for a Motel 6. And finally, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Okay, so make the best of the dive and rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And realize that the guy next door living in the $5 million dive is really depressed because he thought he was living in a 5-star hotel. But it was only a facade for his dying body and his tortured soul. That's all it is. That's all it is. And he will not enjoy it because he thought that it was a 5-star hotel. And there are rats swimming around in the swimming pool. He paid $5 million for that thing. And then his body will rot in the grave. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look forward to what is beyond this. There's something besides death. We know that the reincarnationists and the humanist materialists just see themselves becoming dirt again. Their lives are worthless, meaningless. But, oh God, we know that the best thing in life that we look forward to is not death. It is life forever. Father, there's a reason for our lives here. There's a reason for the suffering. There's a reason for the persecutions. There is a reason why we're going to bear the cross. It is because of that hope that is yet before us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our blindness, our hopelessness, our grumbling, our complaining, our whining. We have ruined so many good trials. We've ruined good persecutions by whining and gossiping and slandering and complaining about the people that persecute us. Father, I pray that you would lift up our eyes to the hills from whence comes our aid. I pray that we would see at the cross of Jesus Christ the forgiveness of our sins, yes, but more than that, I pray we would see a sacrifice that will yield us life forever. Oh God, give us the eyes to see today. I pray this in Jesus' name. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.